You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
I'm going to begin with a statement that may surprise you. It may even offend you. I trust, however, that you'll hear me out on this. Family is not the most important thing in the world. That may surprise you because you've heard me talk about my family from time to time. Maybe it offends you because the conventional wisdom these days is all for the family. What's more important than family, people ask. And to say that family is not the most important thing in the world also does not seem consistent with the history of this program. In the 61 years since the Lutheran Hour began, many family messages have been broadcast. As a matter of fact, the title of today's program, Christ, Come Into Our Home, was taken from a 1946 message of Dr. Walter A. Meyer. What is the most important thing in the world if it's not family? It is Jesus Christ. The purpose of this program is, as always, to bring Christ to the nations, to bring Christ to this nation, to bring Christ to your community, and especially to bring Christ into your home. Yes, especially to bring Christ into your home. When He crosses the threshold of your heart and home, blessings certainly follow. Today we at the Lutheran Hour begin a new concerted effort to talk even more about the home than we have in the past 61 years. The focus of our effort is upon Jesus Christ, who wants to bless your home. Christ, we say, and we hope that you'll join us in praying, Christ, come into our home. Let me tell you how Christ came into one home long ago with His blessing, and that was the home of Zacchaeus. The story is told in St. Luke chapter 19. Jesus went into Jericho and was passing through it. Here was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. He was an overseer of tax collectors, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but being a small man, he could not see Him because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore fig tree to see Him, because Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up. "Zacchaeus, hurry down," he told him, "for today I must stay at your home." He hurried down and was happy to welcome him. But all who saw this began to grumble. He went to be the guest of a sinful man. But Zacchaeus stood and said, "Look, Lord, half of my property I am giving to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone in any way, I am paying him back four times as much." Jesus told him, "Today salvation has come to this home, since he too is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." Zacchaeus wasn't satisfied with the way things were going in his life. If he had been, he wouldn't have gone to such unusual lengths to see Jesus. Zacchaeus had a me-first attitude. His family probably did too. Now, the Bible does not explicitly say that Zacchaeus had a family, but the language suggests that Zacchaeus was a family man. Zacchaeus had a me-first attitude, and his family most likely had a we've-got-to-take-care-of-ourselves-first attitude, too. How do I know that? Well, the Bible says that Zacchaeus was the overseer of tax collectors, and he was rich. In the time of the New Testament, tax collectors were hated because they extorted money from people, money that did not go to the government but into their own greedy pockets. A Greek named Zeno once wrote, "They are all tax collectors, they are all robbers." Zacchaeus was the overseer of the local tax collectors. He was a me-first person. But that did not satisfy him. And sooner or later, you'll be unhappy too if your life revolves around you and your family. Jack Needleman is a professor of philosophy at San Francisco State who has written a book called Money and the Meaning of Life. Professor Needleman says that his classrooms are filled with dissatisfied ex-yuppies, yuppies being people in their 30s and 40s whose lives had been centered on materialism and career prestige. Needleman says they got what they thought they wanted, and it didn't bring any deep fulfillment. They feel that they've missed something deeply important. Many ex-yuppies have shifted their devotion from materialism and career to love and family. The survey done for Revlon found that climbing the corporate ladder finished last on a list of life goals. Love and romance rank much higher as the goal of people today. While that's an improvement over a dollar-dominated view of life, a love and family-first attitude also has built-in failure. That's because many individuals who highly regard marriage and family life look to the home for self-fulfillment. People enter marriage and establish a home because it's good for me. I've performed quite a few weddings during my ministry. When I would meet with a couple several months before the ceremony, I'd ask, why do you want to get married? Invariably, I received a twofold answer. First, he or she loves me. Secondly, she or he is good for me. That's self-fulfillment. It's another form of the me-first outlook on life. Our society has conditioned many of us to look at home life in terms of what it does for me. And how many people haven't walked out on their marriage and family because it's no longer fulfilling my needs? Of course, home life can be very fulfilling, but not always. Yes, I'm glad that the dollar-dominated view of life is declining. But making family and love your priority in life is not fail-safe. Sooner or later, that too will disappoint you. Zacchaeus' me-first attitude did not satisfy him. If he had a family-first attitude, that wasn't satisfying him either. So he went looking for something more. Just as the ex-yuppies attending Professor Needleman's classes in San Francisco are looking for something more. Zacchaeus did not go to a class. No. Jesus Christ found Zacchaeus. St. Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless until they find rest in thee." Jesus stopped right in front of that tree that Zacchaeus had climbed. And Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down, for today I must stay at your home." "I must," he said, "I must stay at your home." Now Jesus is coming to you. He is driven by the same desire to enter your home and bring blessings that only God can give. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says, "See, I am standing at the door and knocking. If anyone listens to my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me." Jesus described what happened when he came into Zacchaeus' home. He said, "Today salvation has come to this home, since he too is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Zacchaeus was lost. Not geographically. He knew his way around Jericho. But Zacchaeus was lost spiritually. Zacchaeus was lost because he was taking his direction in life from himself, not from God. God his creator and God his judge. Zacchaeus was lost in himself and in his own things. His needs, his desires, his self-fulfillment, his family, these were the things for which Zacchaeus had lived. He was Jericho's crass version of a yuppie. These were the things that proved so unsatisfying to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a sinner who was lost in himself. So, how glad Zacchaeus was to receive into his home the Savior who came to seek and to save the lost. He stands now at the door of your heart and home and knocks. Jesus wants to come in. You may think, "I don't need to let him in. I'm not lost." Let me tell you about Jesus in a home, and then you'll see how much you need him in your heart and in your home. When Christ comes into a home, he comes with forgiveness. The Bible is filled with assurances that God has forgiven your sins against him and against others. That forgiveness comes from God because his Son Jesus paid the price of your sins on Calvary's cross, and he rose on Easter to give his followers, and only his followers, eternal life. The Bible is filled with assurances that sorry sinners have had their sins forgiven. For example, Romans 8:1 says, "Now no condemnation remains for those who are in Christ Jesus." That's who stands at the door of your heart and home and who wants to come in to you. Do you need Him? So many homes today are stingy with forgiveness. Picture this scene, a scene probably familiar in your home. A disagreement or an argument arises. How come you did that? Why are you like that? You can fill in the words. Then someone will say, well, that's not so bad. Remember back when you... And then he or she brings up an incident that may have happened 5, 10, 20 years ago. Husbands and wives, parents and children, we all like to store up those past sins in our memory and bring them out like a weapon whenever we're in an argument. You may have said, I forgive, 5, 10, 20 years ago, but you did not permanently forgive. You temporarily forgave. You stored that incident in your memory to use like a weapon whenever you want. You may have forgiven back then, but you revoke that forgiveness whenever you clobber your husband or wife or child with what they did wrong. That is a me-first attitude hiding under a guise of forgiveness. I'll decide when to forgive, and I'll decide when I will not forgive. Hasn't that happened in your home? Now, are you telling me that you don't need Jesus and His definitive word of forgiveness? You need Him in your heart, and you need Him in your home. What a joy it was for Zacchaeus to receive the friend of sinners into his home. What joy can come into your home when Jesus comes in and says to each one of you, yes, you have sinned. I forgive you. I do not hold it against you. That's why I came. That's why I died. That's why I rose again. I did it so I can come to you and say, you are forgiven. Your sin is not held against you. Now go and sin no more. The story of Jesus Christ can come into your home with the power to break sin. Lost in yourself, His word of forgiveness reorients you to God and can break the power of sin that destroys so much in your home. God's word can conquer evil in your home. Lack of forgiveness, lack of patience, jealousy, lack of time together, drugs, alcohol, abuse. Me first, you second. Such things need forgiveness. They also need to be broken. God's word in Jesus Christ can do that. Jesus did it for Zacchaeus. This tax-collecting thief repented for being lost in himself. Christ came to his home with forgiveness, and Zacchaeus became a donor to the needy. He told Jesus, Lord, half of my property I am giving to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone in any way, I am paying him back four times as much. Zacchaeus changed because God's forgiveness found him and helped break the power of sin in his life and home. And that word can change your home too. Now, can you tell me that you're going to leave Jesus standing outside of your home? Is family life so good in your home and in the homes of this country that we shouldn't beg him into our homes and hearts? The homes of America need Jesus as desperately as Zacchaeus' home did. The homes of Canada need him. Your home needs him to come in. So does mine. A few years ago, Professor Alan Bloom of the University of Chicago caused a stir with his book, The Closing of the American Mind. In that book, Dr. Bloom said this about many modern families. The loss of the gripping inner life must be primarily attributed not to our schools or political life, but to the family, which with all its rights to privacy has proved unable to maintain any content of its own. The dreariness of the family's spiritual landscape passes belief. I am speaking here not of the unhappy broken homes that are such a prominent part of American life, but the relatively happy ones, where husband and wife like each other and care about their children, very often unselfishly devoting the best parts of their lives to them. But they have nothing to give their children in the way of a vision of the world, of high models of action, or profound sense of connection with others. When Christ enters your home and is welcomed by faith, the dreariness of your family's spiritual landscape is changed. Jesus reorients you. away from being lost in yourself, and to the eternal truths of God. He breaks this stranglehold of our self-centered society, this me first, or we've got to take care of ourselves first attitude. He breaks that outlook and lets you see your home first and foremost as a place where He lives. That's why Jesus must be most important in your family. Many people look at Jesus as the means to an end. They see Jesus as the doctor who can fix a troubled home. So today, we have an abundance of so-called Christian family counseling. Is the word Christian only an adjective, or is it much more? Is Jesus just the means to a me-first or a family-first goal? He shouldn't be. Jesus is the goal. The family is not. Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Again, He says that the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. God and Christ are the goal. Much talk these days about improving family life has it all backwards. Jesus is not the means we use to improve our family life. The goal of lost sinners is to know the Savior. The home should be a means to that goal. Your home can be the place where Jesus comes to stay with His words of forgiveness, His words to break the power of sin. That's why the Lutheran Hour today begins an intensified effort to bring Christ to the nations by bringing Christ into your home. We want you to receive Christ with joy, just as Zacchaeus did. We want you to know the peace that His forgiveness brings. We want you to have hope, hope that God's powerful Word can break the sin that can devastate any home, including yours. We want Christ to change your family's spiritual landscape. That's why the title, Christ Come Into Our Home, it does not put the focus on the Lutheran Hour. It does not make the family the most important thing. Christ Come Into Our Home rivets our attention on Jesus, the Savior of sinners. We want you, our listeners, to join us in praying that the Savior come with His blessing into your home, into my home, into every home. We want you to be working with us in this intensified effort. And we want you to pray. We want you to pray, Christ, come into our home. And I want you to pray with me now. Oh, Savior Jesus Christ, today you say to us, "See, I am standing at the door and knocking. If anyone listens to my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me." Dearest Savior, come into our hearts, we pray, and into our home. O Christ, Savior of sinners, as you came into the home of Zacchaeus, come into our home and make it a place where we meet you. Amen.